Hello and welcome to the first Life and Pets episode of 2006. I'm Gelada.
And I'm Saffron.
And this is episode 6, and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year as well, yes, because we wished them Happy Christmas before.
We did indeed.
So, yeah. Happy New Year, everyone.
Indeed.
We were going to do something kind of cool this episode.
We were.
Well, we've got some cool announcements.
We've got some cool stuff.
Which is kind of like makes up for this.
Yep.
We were going to do something quite cool.
We were.
We were going to have a guest on, weren't we?
We were indeed.
But unfortunately, he couldn't make it.
Yep. We have no idea why yet.
No, we're not sure what happened to him. Hope he's all right.
Yeah, but nothing happened already. He had some problems with his website and his computer, and so maybe that sort of took over and he didn't remember.
But we'll say no more. We'll keep it as a little surprise because hopefully we'll do it in future episodes.
Yeah, sometime we'll get him on.
But yeah, it should be good fun. So, instead, we're going to try and cram as much possible into this episode as possible.
We are, because it's the new year and we've got lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, because it's been a while since we've done a show, so we've had quite a lot to report.
It has. And just as a sort of follow-up to the episode before Christmas, if you listen to the very end, there was a little sort of Christmas presenty joke thing. And
yeah, it's Christmas present for all you ladies out there.
Yes, don't stop.
Sorry.
and for those listening, for those who had listened to it, I really didn't know that Saffron had done that. I honestly didn't. I came back from answering the door as if nothing had happened.
I was just sitting here.
It was quite a surprise when all of a sudden the recording just cut and there was like, well, hello. And,
yeah, exactly.
So that was quite funny.
You're kind of sitting there editing thinking,
what the hell?
Who's this sexy guy?
And I was like,
oh my God, it's Saffron.
But so that's that.
That was fun.
We've got some housekeeping.
Well, yeah. Is it housekeeping? I suppose it's really big housekeeping.
It is kind of.
It's kind of like a spring clean.
Huge housekeeping. This is the big news that, Proen knows that we had some big news.
We kind of mentioned
never
that
knew what it was.
He didn't know what it was.
And, you may or may have not realised. I mean, if you're listening to the podcast feed, then you probably haven't realised because it should have transparently redirected.
Yeah.
But we actually have a domain now. I mean, we have moved from hex.dustydreams.co.uk to lifeinhex.com.
Lifeinhex.com. We have our own domain for it.
We do. We have a ton of bandwidth.
Yeah, plenty of bandwidth.
Absolutely loads. And that means we don't have to host on archive.org anymore.
Which has been a problem recently.
It's been a real problem, which comes in later. But as far as streaming and that sort of thing, you just couldn't do anything. But now you can stream the show and we can do what we like.
Yeah,
we can have
it's going to be a lot better.
Videos, MP3, everything.
Which we're hopefully going to do.
Yep, and so we're hosting that on GoDaddy.com, which you may have heard on Dignation and that
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, they use them.
Well, whether they use them or not, but they get sponsored by
They get sponsored by them, they help them with bandwidth. But we thought we'd use them. They were really good by the looks of it, weren't they?
Yeah, it's basically, they don't have a lot in the way of features, which is why they're so cheap. And so, as I said to you, it is just literally dirt cheap bandwidth.
Dirt cheap bandwidth, that's all it is.
And that is all we need. So, we recommend GoDaddy.com. So far, there haven't been any problems. Really quick to set up.
Yep.
If there are any problems, obviously we'll mention it and say, not go to GoDaddy.com.
Yeah, exactly. But they're really cheap.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's just what we needed.
Yeah, it's exactly what we needed. So, that was awesome.
Right, well, before we get into the standard, you know, kind of episode-esque thing where we do our usual stuff, we actually got an email.
We did.
Now, when
we're going to be sort of giggling like the schoolgirls here. This was quite cool.
This is seriously cool. And if you're listening, this is true, honestly. We were like this. We got an email from a guy.
Indeed.
Called Stank Dog.
We did.
Now, some of you might know him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might have heard it before. Mm-hmm. But basically, he ran a podcast.
He did.
A while
ran
ago.
An internet radio show, and he runs a hacking group.
Yes, he did loads of cool stuff on the internet.
He has his own Wikipedia article. So if you go onto Wikipedia and search for Stank Dog, spell DAWG at the end, you will find out all about him and all the stuff he's done in the hacking scene.
Exactly. But he found us somehow.
Somehow.
But he found us and he sent us an email. It says, "Hey guys, while I have personally stepped back from the public, I do still follow what is happening in the community. I remember both Gelada and Saffron from the BinRev forums and from sending emails to BinRev Radio. I am still staying tucked away in the underbelly of the global interweb, but I wanted to pop out and drop you a note of support. I still listen to a lot of radio at work, and I listened to the first 5 episodes of Life in Hex, and I enjoyed it. As a person who has done radio shows for a long time, I can tell that you enjoy the subject matter, and if I can tell, so can everyone else. Keep up the good work, and good luck with the show and everything else. From across the pond, Stank Dog."
And thank you very much, Stank Dog, for emailing us. It was a great shock when I opened my inbox and there, from Stank Dog. I first thought it was just like a generic email to everyone on the BIMREF forums or something, but it wasn't. It was actually to us. So
personally,
it was very cool.
So touched our hearts.
Yes. So thank
you
very much, Stank
Dog. You know what I mean.
And the next bit of big news, which to me is really big news, it's almost as big as the domain.
And this kind of comes in. This kind of links in with that.
It does. It links in with everything. He offered us a slot on DDP Hack Radio.
Yes.
And you can go and have a look at that at ddphackradio.org, which is funnily enough. And it's basically an internet radio stream, and it's a collection of radio shows all over the internet, and it streams them out on an internet stream. And we have been offered a slot.
Yeah.
I emailed up them to confirm that we would get a slot, and we have a slot at Thursday 8 p.m. EST, I think.
No, so Wednesday. Was it Wednesday?
No, it's Thursday.
It's Thursdays.
So you may actually even be listening to this from there.
Yes, maybe.
So hello, you DDP Hack Radio listeners, if you are listening to this.
Excellent.
We hope you like the show.
We hope you do. I hope you enjoy it and you continue to listen.
So that was really cool.
Drop us a line.
Mm, indeed.
That's pretty much all the kind of the announcements and the housekeeping out
indeed.
The way, isn't it?
That's a lot of housekeeping.
That's a lot of housekeeping, like I said. And we're looking forward to the next year of Life in Hex on the podcast.
We are. It's going to be big. It's gone. Well, obviously, there were only 5 episodes last year, but this maybe will take off and maybe we'll have a decent show on our hands.
Yeah, maybe we'll start to get even better than we already are. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know.
Not that we're any good,
well,
of course.
No, according to the email we got, apparently we're quite good. So, but anyway, let's get on with the show.
Indeed.
Let's get on with life.
Indeed.
Our lifey section. Now, obviously, it's been Christmas and New Year.
It has.
And we're just going to quickly tell you what we were up to.
Yeah, not a lot. Sleeping?
Not a lot, really. I've been sleeping a lot, too.
Yeah,
what did you do for Christmas?
Family on Christmas Day.
Yeah, you weren't at home, though, were you?
No, we were off at family at my aunt and uncle's, unfortunately. But never mind, took Mario Kart DS with me.
Which
played that.
Kept you occupied.
It did.
What about the noob there who you had to play with?
Oh, yeah, there was some guy who has an Xbox 360, although didn't bring it with him, unfortunately.
Silly person.
But, we played GameCube, went through all my games, all my multiplayer games, and I owned him on every single one. But then, be fair, he hadn't played before, so. Well, we played Time Splitters 2, though. But
yeah, he's still sub.
So, but yeah, as you gathered from that, we both got Mario Kart DS.
Oh, both got Mario Kart DS. Christmas Day, opened all the presents with my family. Yep. The first one that I was really truly interested in was, oh gosh, my Mario Kart DS.
Yep.
Funny getting back.
Indeed.
So I went upstairs and grabbed my DS and started playing it.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that later.
We are going to go to a little view of that, but not now. So what did you do for the new year?
What did I do for the new year? That's a very good question. Just slightly more than what you did.
You did a lot more than what I did.
Well, no, we just had some people over, as we usually do, but we normally have people over from down the street.
Yeah.
But they were all away. I think some of them were in India, some of them were in Bangkok. Mm. I don't know what they were doing.
Good
over
for
there.
Some.
Yeah. And so we didn't really do anything.
You had to sing with your dad at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, I always have to play and sing Auld Lang Syne, but so there you go. What about you? What did you do for New Year?
Well, I did something very exciting.
Ooh.
I went downstairs and I cracked open a bottle of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Not literally cracked, because that'd be dangerous.
It would. And you'd damage a table.
Exactly.
Or whatever you cracked
on. I cracked it on. My head, maybe. And I decided to play my dad's new Xbox.
Awesome.
However, it wasn't as if, like, oh, get to try out one of the new games, you know, great way to bring in the new year, you know, new game that you got for Christmas. No, I played one of the oldest games that have been out on the Xbox. I played Jet Set Radio Future.
Yep, now you rant on about this so much.
Oh, it's a great game. It's such a good game.
We know. But yeah.
It's an old game, very old game. But hey, what better way is there to spend your new year?
I can think of many ways.
I can think of a few too. Moving on.
Moving swiftly on. Now, I went to a LAN party down in Chesham with members of my clan.
Yeah, we mentioned that you're in a clan.
We plugged it in the couple of episodes.
Oh, we plugged it in Darren a few times.
Yeah, so go and check out der.dustydreams.co.uk. I host them. They eat all my bandwidth, over 1 gig of bandwidth a month. And it was really great fun. It was a great laugh, basically, more than anything else.
Yeah.
It was basically our clan and another clan, essentially. But that it wasn't sort of a clan war-y thing. It was just because the other clan do this all the time. They do this every 6 months or something. There's another one in Easter.
Right.
And he has a double-length garage, and he lines the sides up with trestle tables and makes up some network cables, and everyone brings in loads of computers, and we play games a lot. And that was essentially what it was.
About the gist of it.
It was roughly the gist of it. It was really good fun, and the highlights were seeing this dude's rig. Oh my god.
I've seen some pictures.
When he wheeled it past, I thought it was like a heater or something. And it's, for a start, okay, it had wheels. The case was, it's hard to sort of describe the case.
Well, we've got a picture, we can shove that up.
Yeah,
there.
I'll shove a picture up on the web. But it was essentially about the size of three normal cases.
That's stupid.
Something like that. The case was custom built, 500 pounds. That's what?
$700-$800.
$700-$800. Laser etching, lights, four fans on the top, window, everything. And the graphics card he had in it was a NVIDIA GeForce 7800 GTX, the new one with half a gig of RAM. Jeez. $500. So the case and graphics card on their own is a grand.
Yeah.
So we're talking like a $2,000 computer.
At least, yeah.
He had 13 hard drives, 1.6 terabytes of storage. And that was freaking amazing.
That sounds awesome.
It was cool. People's rigs, people had good rigs. But
that's just amazing.
Half of them were broken, but they had good rigs.
Yeah. Well, like you said, when you went, you were thinking, oh, mine's going to be like the worst out of the lot of them. But it wasn't really, was it?
It held its own,
compared to a lot of other people's.
Put it this way, mine was working.
Exactly, yeah.
Half of them weren't actually working. Half of them were building them there. You know, so.
You also told me that another highlight of it was kind of like meeting your clan.
Yeah, that was a real highlight. It was real great fun meeting DeFay, an inmate, and Trajano, and Ollie Picker. Don't want to forget anyone. I was like, don't forget anyone.
Or else they might kill you next time on
exactly.
CS Source when you think.
And that was really cool. It was really great meeting DeFay, especially. So, plugs to him.
Yeah. Anyway, on to gaming.
On to gaming. And you're going to start us off.
I'm going to do a review. I'm kind of a reviewer of Life in Hex, aren't I?
Yeah, you are, kind of.
Because like, I did the Star Wars Battlefront 2 review, mm-hmm. I did the Advance Wars Dual Strike review,
mm-hmm.
and now, as you might have guessed...
Yeah, from the way that we've gone out on about it for the past three episodes,
yeah.
Now we finally have it.
Mario Kart DS.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
You'd like some background music for Mario Kart DS music.
Yeah,
Wait.
We should have Mario Kart playing.
Keep talking.
I think, yeah, George is going to pull out his DS and... Yes. I know it's been out for a while, and that's what it's been out for. Yeah, that kind of picked up on there.
Yeah.
I know Mario Kart's been out for a while now. It's, been about 2 months now?
Something like that, yeah.
November. But since we, like, kind of... Oh, dear. Turn that down a little bit. It's a bit loud. Oh, no, it's not. But since we've only just got it now, you can stop that now.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of just annoying.
Sorry, Nintendo, we have not broken copyright laws. That was less than 30 seconds.
Yes, yeah, so
thank you and good night.
It was a sample tech.
I don't live here.
Okay, thanks, bye. So we're going to do a review. Well,
we are
going to do a review. You can chime in whatever you want.
I will.
Okay, we're going to stick to the usual, you know, graphics, sound, gameplay,
mm-hmm.
etc. Okay, starting off with graphics. It's a perfect 60 frames per second the entire game.
Except on multiplayer when it sometimes lags a nickel bit.
Yeah, because there's like loads of cars about, there's explosions. There's
I've
like,
noticed it when playing Pro-Am at school.
Yeah, yeah, but it's, how long does it last? A few seconds.
Yeah, a couple of seconds. It's no big deal.
And even then, it's dropping down to what?
20, it's not at 30? The frame rate doesn't drop down, the game just slows.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So
it's not a big deal at all.
It's no way a big deal. It's nothing that you couldn't even count it as a fault.
No, you couldn't.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's a very pretty looking game.
It is.
And it's fully 3D.
Yeah, and I mean, apart from Double Dash, it's the first fully 3D Mario Kart.
Yep. But as you just said about Double Dash, mm-hmm. in our opinions, it's probably better looking than Double Dash.
It's better looking, yeah. I wouldn't say the graphics are physically, you know, high polygon
camera.
No, they're
anything, not.
Obviously.
But in terms of their feel
the
and
artwork.
Kind of look, the artwork especially, they're nicer. Mm-hmm. I mean... We both agreed earlier that they feel less kiddie. Because I think Double Dash was kind of like a bit more child orientated, perhaps. I mean, get me wrong, I like Double Dash.
Mm.
I did like it.
It didn't have the jump when you power slide it.
No, that kind of sucks.
That was, you know, that's just it. It's not. It's no longer a Mario Kart game. Sorry, we disown it.
But, no, I think Mario Kart DS looks absolutely fantastic.
It is a fantastic looking game.
It's really nice looking. The sound. The music and everything, it's the usual Mario Kart tunes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the
well, you heard one.
Well, you heard the opening tune there. It's got all the music from the old games that are on the game.
When so
the all
retro
the old retro carts, you've got all the old music, which is kind of nice. A bit nostalgic.
Yeah.
And all the characters have their odd sound bite. You know, when they overtake someone, when they hit them with a shell or something, etc. When they do something, they'd like make go, "Oh yeah!" or "Woohoo!" or something stupid like that.
Or in the case of Dry Bones,
yeah, it's just like a clacking sound. It's very strange. And so generally the sound effects are good as well.
He has no vocal cords.
That's true, because he's just skeleton.
Mm-hmm. How he stays up, we don't know.
But and the sound effects are relatively good as well. Gameplay, it's got 16 new courses, so mm-hmm. brand new ones we've never seen before. Mm. Although some are quite reminiscent of older
they
tracks.
Are, yeah. There's some similar ones, like, you know, you've got the general themes of like a snowy one, a desert
exactly.
one, etc.
I mean, they complete. I mean, they've got, they took Rainbow Road from the original of the other games, mm. and they kind of reinvented that. So it's not a retro mm. course. It's
but
a
I mean,
new
there's
course.
Always a Rainbow Road in all yeah. the games.
So. So yeah, there's 16 new courses, but there's also 16 old ones, mm-hmm. the retro courses, as we yep. mentioned in the sound preview. Overall, there's 12 characters to be used, out of which 4 are unlockable. Mm. So you start off with 8, and then you can lock 4 of them. Mm-hmm. And if once you've completed the all the Grand Prix and everything, mm-hmm. the standard races, you get all 37 karts.
You do.
So there's plenty of variety. So you've got lots of different drives and karts. Cool thing is, though, is that all the drives and the karts have different... kind of, well, not features, they have different statistics.
They all have different statistics, yeah.
So they're all varied in their own way. What other stuff is there in the gameplay? There's the time trials, mm-hmm. which are really good, because and you can keep perfecting your scores.
Yeah.
But there's also the ghost feature, as usual. Yeah. There's always been the ghost feature, mm. and the staff ghosts. But the cool thing is, I think, overall, and it's really useful for perfecting your lap times.
It is very useful.
Is the fact that the ghosts, and especially for the staff ghosts, because obviously they mm. know the best way, it shows on the bottom screen, because its gameplay takes place on the top screen, mm-hmm. And the map on the bottom screen, but it shows their what would you say...
It's their trail.
Their trail, how they drive around the course.
And also how fast they go, because exactly. the colour of the arrow shows how fast
yes,
they go.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So it kind of allows you to copy the staff ghosts who mm. know how to do best. There's missions, which yep. is a new feature to the Mario Kart mm. series. Basically, they're only like short, like minute-long missions. Mm. All you have to do is like do a certain objective, like hit so many item boxes, drive through some hoops, etc. Mm. But they're quite fun, and they let you hone your driving skills. So.
Yeah, and it's a good break from doing the Grand Prix.
Yeah,
doing
yeah, it is definitely. And the last one is the fact that they've got battles again, yeah. as usual. But this time, Nintendo have done something which I think they should have done in Double Dash.
Yeah,
but they didn't. Is that you can have bots in battles, so if you want to play, you can play battles on your own now.
You can, but not just that. But if you've only got a couple of people, you can still have other. You know, it's not just you two on a map.
So you can have like 8 people in one go.
Yeah,
which is much better.
It is more definitely
hectic.
Better.
And the battles have a cool little feature of you always have balloons in the old games that, you know, you only have 3 balloons and then you die.
Yeah.
But this time you get like, what was it, 5 or 6 balloons?
Yeah, you start with one.
You start with one balloon, you have 5 in reserve, but you have to blow them up yourself using yeah. the microphone. You have to blow into the microphone,
which is really cool.
Which is a very cool little feature.
I can imagine, like, you're in a room with 8 other people and you're all going. I won't do that on the microphone.
So yeah, it's nice little features like that. You know, they don't really add much to the gameplay, but mm-hmm. it's still quite cool.
It is.
In terms of its value for money
and its last
and
ability.
Its last ability, well, it's got the Wi-Fi.
It has.
It's the first game to have the Nintendo Wi-Fi system.
It's the first time Nintendo have ever gone
online
on their own.
Apart from... Oh, yeah, on their own. Mm. I'm going to say Phantasy Star on the GameCube, but that was with Sega. So, yeah, it's the first time they're online, and it works surprisingly well.
Mm.
Now, sometimes it can take a while to find a full game of people, but often, more than not, what it'll do is if you can't find 3 other people to race with you, because it automatically searches for opponents, it'll just, like, grab... as many people as they can, like 1 or 2 people, and just shove you in a race together. But it's also cool for the Wi-Fi because there's plenty of hotspots around the UK. There's even more so in America.
Yeah.
There's plenty of hotspots everywhere.
By the way, if anyone tries to get set up Nintendo Wi-Fi on an ad hoc network, don't bother, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky. It's very fiddly with getting to work properly.
I.e. it doesn't work.
No, what I mean is the game's picky about what
it's
able
picky.
To get on.
If you go on the website, they're like, well, this router works, this router doesn't, this router works, this router doesn't. And you think, what the hell's the difference?
But basically, in my opinion, I really couldn't be bothered with that kind of trouble.
Well, you haven't got a wireless network. So.
Nor have I got a wireless network or
a
wireless
router.
Need one. I don't need one. I don't like wireless anyway. Mm. So I just bought... Well, I got the USB access point as a present for Christmas, and it's just so much easier for me to just go bang, done. It's going to last you a very long time. You know, you'll always be picking up and playing it. You know, if you're going to be a hardcore gamer, you're playing it all the time. If you're going to be just like, oh, pick it up for a change, you know, play it, and you're like, oh, this is really good, I like the Wi-Fi.
Yep.
You know. Now, overall, we were discussing this earlier. We kind of disputed over this. We are kind of
disputed on the final score. So I said that it's worthy a 9 out of 10. Because, personally, apart from a few things, you know, apart from a few Wi-Fi issues and stuff with the actual Wi-Fi, which isn't Mario Kart, but, you know, is a kind of a problem, and you can never have enough courses and all this sort of thing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And some of the battle courses I really don't like.
They're a bit bland.
Like the Nintendo DS one.
Well, you have to race on a Nintendo DS. It's a bit bland.
I liked the N64 ones and so. But apart from that, I gave it a 9 out of 10 because I thought it's a friggin' awesome game.
I, on the other hand, despite being the one who reviewed it,
yep.
Only give it, I gave it an 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Reason being is because I feel that the niggly little things that you talked about put a much larger crimp on the game than you seemed, or you said. Because, to be honest, it really irritates me that the Wi-Fi is so inaccessible to people who haven't got money.
Mm.
If someone's already got a wireless network, they think, oh, it's all right, I'll just play on that. And if I was, oh, it's not compatible, then they're screwed and they have to buy themselves something else, which is kind of a real downer. The Wi-Fi can be slow sometimes in terms of finding people, which is a shame. And, yeah, there could always be more courses, and sometimes the courses do feel a bit bland. A couple of courses do feel a bit... don't have to do this one again. Mm. I think the best one to that is Luigi's Mansion. I don't like that one at all.
Yeah, I like that because I can go around it really fast.
Well, yeah, so can I. I can go around uber fast, but it's bland and boring. It's nothing.
It is a bit bland.
Yeah. So, yeah, I give it an 8 out of 10. So, that's it. That's the end of the review.
Yep.
That was a long review.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that review.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Mm. I enjoyed the review. Yeah.
I've got a quick mention of Call of Duty 2, which I recently got. It's really good game as far as I'm into FPS. I never was, actually. Surprising.
You always are RTS.
I was always RTS. Really heavily into RTS, RPG and that sort of thing. But I'm actually, you know, I've really got into FPS, and so it's a good game. Very nice graphics.
Oh, yeah, the
graphics
are
nice.
Not as pretty as some games.
No, I'd say they're still not as good as something like Half-Life 2 or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're still good. Bit overboard on the bump mapping and that sort of thing. But
yeah, especially on the faces.
But the effects are really good, and the explosions are really good, and all that sort of thing. And the missions are a bit monotonous.
I've played through it a little bit, and it's very similar to the original.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously I haven't played the original, so I wouldn't know what it's like.
Yeah.
But for example, I think there's 3 or 4 campaigns overall. And you're doing missions, and you think, well, I've done this mission, just not with the, you know, not with the Americans or whatever. But it's really cool. I haven't tried multiplayer yet, but I will do. And when I've done that and completed it and whatever, I will give a full review.
Yep.
In another
full
episode.
Lowdown. But we couldn't really have 2 reviews in one episode anyway. It'd be a bit long.
We'd be pushing it.
Yeah. My go again. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of the DS consultant, aren't I?
You are. You're kind of the gaming consultant, really.
Yeah, I think I am. Well, basically, I've finished the normal campaign on Advance Wars.
Now
the few of you out there who have already finished it and already done the hard mode as well and everything else, you can stop laughing at me. I just don't have much time on my hands as you do.
We bow down to you.
Yes. I wish we could be uber like you, but we're not. So I've just finished the normal mode on Advance Wars Dual Strike, which was what I reviewed the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hooked on it now. I'm like really seriously playing it. Like, I'm probably gonna go home later and play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be lying in bed playing it for like hours. Kind of like level my COs up, get through the hard campaign.
It's a cool game.
It's a very good game. I'm loving it, and I'm really glad I got it. And you don't like it as much, though, do you?
No, I've always thought, wow, it's really good, like strategy game on the DS. But I've just never got into it. But never mind.
We should play a game later.
Mario Kart DS is for me. PC gaming is for me.
Well, so is me. But I love my DS.
Anyway, keep going.
It's sexy. Well, actually, it's not. That's what we were talking about earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's not sexy. It's not that pretty. And final little gaming thing. Is this the final gaming thing?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's the final gaming thing. I got Sonic Rush, another game that's been out a little while, I know, but I got it for Christmas.
I want to sneakily borrow this off you sometime when you've got sick of it, because I want to try it out.
Yeah, sure, you can borrow it. I haven't played it a whole lot, because I've been playing Advance Wars, Mario Kart mostly. But I got Sonic Rush, which is really cool. Mm. It's possibly one of the best side-scrolling Sonic games to date.
Yeah.
It's a bit tricky in parts and a bit unpredictable. The only real way to be able to get good scores on it is just do the level over and over and over again, so you memorize every single location of every jump and every enemy, etc.
But that's Sonic all over, really, isn't it?
Basically, yeah, but there's some serious blind jumps, because you'd be racing along, you'll jump, and you didn't realize that you'd just gone past like a spring that you need to go on, and you end up falling down in a bottomless pit.
Yeah. But maybe you can do a review of that sometime, a quick sort of chat about it when you've finished Advance Wars a bit.
And I've played it a bit more, because I haven't played it a whole lot.
Okay.
Pac-Man probably,
yeah, maybe if we have Pac-Man on, he can do it.
He's finished it.
Has he completely. Really?
Oh, he loves Sonic. You know he does.
Yeah, he does. He's a Sonic addict, you're right.
Right, we're going to go to our music now, aren't we?
We are.
Because that was kind of a long gaming section.
It was.
But then we've got a lot of other stuff to go through as well, so it's going to be a long episode.
Indeed.
This is my choice of music.
It was your choice of music, indeed.
A lot of you might have already heard of this, because, you know, Newgrounds is very, very popular.
Yeah, it is.
And it's currently the number one on Newgrounds.
Which is awesome.
Which is amazing, considering the amount of popularity Newgrounds gets and the amount of popularity of other Flash portals. But at the moment, the one number one is a Flash called The Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And the music was done by a person called Lemon Demon. And we're going to play it.
We are.
Because I think it's quite cool.
You can go and check out his website at his, her, must be his.
Whatever.
You can go and check out Lemon Demon's website.
At lemondemon.com.
At lemondemon.com. And so we'll get you back after this with some tech.
Yep.
Godzilla was hopping around Tokyo City like a big playground, when suddenly Batman burst from the shade and hit Godzilla with a bat grenade. Godzilla got pissed and began to attack, but didn't expect to be blocked by Shaq, who proceeded to open up a can of Shaq Fu when Aaron Carter came out of the blue and he started beating up Shaquille O'Neal. Then they both got flattened by the Batmobile, but before he could make it back to the Batcave, Abraham Lincoln popped out of his grave and took an AK-47 out from under his hat, blew Batman away with a rat-a-tat-tat. But he ran out of bullets and he ran away, because Optimus Prime came to save the day. This is the ultimate showdown of ultimate destiny. Good guys, bad guys, and explosions as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown of ultimate destiny. Took a bite out of Optimus Prime, like Scruff McGruff took a bite out of crime. And then Shaq came back covered in a tire track, but Jackie Chan chomped out and landed on his back. And Batman was injured and trying to get steady when Abraham Lincoln came back with a machete. But suddenly something caught his leg and he tripped. Indiana Jones took him out with his whip. Then he saw Godzilla sneaking up from behind, then he reached for his gun, which he just couldn't find, cause Batman stole it and he shot and he missed, and Jackie Chan deflected it with his fist. Then he jumped in the air and he did a somersault while Abraham Lincoln tried to pull vault onto Optimus Prime, but they collided in the air. Then they both got hit by a Care Bear stare. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny. Good guys, bad guys, and explosions as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown. Angels sang out in an immaculate chorus. Down from the heavens descended Chuck Norris, who delivered a kick which could shatter bones into the crotch of Indiana Jones, who fell over on the ground, writhing in pain, as Batman changed back into Bruce Wayne. But Chuck saw through his clever disguise, and he crushed Batman's head in between his thighs. Then Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White and Monty Python and the Holy Grail's Black Knight and Benito Mussolini and the Blue Meanie and Cowboy Curtis and John B. the Genie, Robocop, the Terminator, Captain Kirk and Darth Vader, No Pan, Superman, every single Power Ranger, Bill S. Preston and Theodore Logan, Spock, the Rock, Doc Ock and Hulk Hogan all came out of nowhere lightning fast, and they kicked Chuck Norris in his cowboy ass. It was the bloodiest battle that the world ever saw, with civilians looking on in total awe. The fight raged on for a century, many lives were claimed, but eventually the champion stood, the rest saw their better, Mr. Rogers in a bloodstained sweater. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny. Good guys, bad guys, and explosions as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that.
Yes.
It's kind of a funny little song. I mean, we usually have like kind of serious, nice songs, but that was kind of a comedy song.
A funny song. That was your choice of songs.
It was.
We're moving into our tech stuff now. you probably, well, you may have, may not heard, but you will have spotted the Windows update, hopefully, that there's been a lot of buzz on the internet about the latest WMF vulnerability that has inflicted itself on every single version of Windows since Windows 3.
Yes, it's a vulnerability that I don't think Microsoft probably didn't even realise it was there.
Well, evidently not, otherwise they would have patched it.
But it's quite a big one, really, when you think about it, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you can go and check out a really good place to have a look is www.f-secure.com, which is an antivirus company, /weblog. And I subscribe to their blog. That's how I know about it.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of stuff on this and a lot of stuff on the unofficial patches and all that sort of thing. But basically, I think there were like over 20 cases of viruses using this in the wild.
Yeah.
And there was also something that would make viruses randomly and virus companies couldn't patch against this virus maker. And the fact that it's a WMF means that it's just an image, you know.
Well, no, explain what WMF means.
Yeah, WMF is a Windows metafile, which is an image essentially, but it's a clip art image usually, because they're scalable.
Yes.
Usually. So if you've got like clip art CDs, you usually have WMFs in them.
Yes.
But basically, there was some vulnerability in it. I don't know the exact details. I'm not a technical-minded person to know about vulnerabilities. But all I know is that it was serious enough for people to write their own patches.
It was getting pretty bad, actually, wasn't it?
It was. But there was an unofficial patch, and finally Microsoft patched it yesterday. I think. Yeah, it was yesterday.
So that was the 6th.
Yeah, but it took them a while, even though like there'd been unofficial patches.
Like 10 days, didn't it?
Yeah, even though there were unofficial patches, it still took them all this time to fix it. But oh well, such is life.
But yeah, check out that website, the www.f-secure.com/weblog. That, you know, the link will be on the site.
Of course, link's always on the site.
But it goes into real good detail about it.
It does.
It's quite interesting to read.
Yeah.
It also shows you how bad Microsoft's computer system can be. I mean, such a major exploit being there for God knows how long. So like over 10 years now.
Yeah, whatever the stupid length is.
Exactly. I mean, Windows 3, you know, it's not good.
But that F-Secure blog is a really good way of finding out about big virus threats and stuff. They sort of almost discuss how they go through virus threats and what happens when there's a new virus threat and what they do and such and bloody blah. So it's really cool.
So if you're into viruses, check it out. If you're into, you know,
security,
check it out.
Now this is a huge thing for me. God, we're full of huge things today.
Oh, it's a big show.
Yep. I have a new computer.
Ooh.
I will give a rundown of the specs. It's a AMD Athlon 64 4000 Plus, which is running at 2.4 GHz. It's got 2 GB of DDR RAM, dual channel, of course. 200 GB serial ATA hard drive, XFX GeForce. Now, I'm going to do this because this is funny. XFX GeForce 7800 GTX XXX Edition Vivo 256 MB DDR3 PCI Express graphics card.
I think made by it. NVIDIA.
XFX.
Yeah, with NVIDIA chip.
Yep.
And now that's its full name.
Yep, that is its full technical name thing.
Try and say that 5 times over.
Yep. Yeah, come on. Take you about 5 minutes. And it's all housed in an Antec Sonata 2, which is like a 90 quid case.
Oh, it's sexy though.
It's a sexy case.
Oh, she is.
It is a sexy case. And the motherboard is an 8-bit A8N Fatality SLI.
Oh, don't like that motherboard's name.
Yeah.
It annoys me.
Well, do you know what I found out? Now, do not buy the A8N Fatality from Abit. Just buy the normal A8N SLI. And the reason is because the Fatality is another 30 quid or something like that. All you get is some red LEDs on the bottom, black PCBs, and the Uguru and the Micro Uguru panel.
Yeah, the Micro Uguru panel's cool.
Yeah, but it's 30-40 quid for some red LEDs and a panel.
You probably put that in yourself.
It's like, what? You can. It's what
not hard to put some LEDs
it's
in.
It's what reviews say. Reviews say, like, just put the LEDs in. Go and get some nice coloured LEDs and solder them on.
I'll say, when we first turned it on, opened the case to make sure if the fans were working.
It's like, ooh, it's red.
I was like, oh my God, it's glowing. Ooh. But then it was like... That cost me 30 quid, though.
Yeah, but it's cool. I'm very, very pleased with it. She is beautiful, and I love her.
Oh, she's sexy.
I mentioned previously, at some point, I'm sure I've mentioned, that I used to have...
I think it was last episode.
Several times I've mentioned that I've got... I had IPCOP, www.ipcop.org.
You have said that, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, and it's a Linux firewall, basically. But I outgrew it, so I've now got a Gentoo Linux install, and I've sort of nicknamed it Gentlefire, lovingly nicknamed Gentlefire.
I think it's a cool name. I do think it's a cool name.
Basically, it's a... Well, Gentoo Linux is a source-based installation, which means, for all those who don't know, in Linux, everything is normally source-based, which is the human-readable code, so the code that whoever has written it in. And in comparison, Windows is binary-based. Source-based, or being source-based, means that programs run faster because the compiler does some special stuff. It's like...
It's very technical, really,
like
isn't it?
It's magic fairies.
I mean...
It's to do with exactly... It's to do with how the CPU executes things, and we're talking about assembly and strange stuff. Gentoo Linux has the best documentation of community of any Linux distribution I know. It really
Thank
has.
God.
Go to gentoo.org and have a look for yourself. The community is great. The chances are someone has had your problem already if you've got a problem.
Exactly.
They're great for setting up network stuff. I basically followed one of their tutorials for setting up a home firewall, and that was it, and added a few things myself. But... Why did I do this? You may ask. Why? Why did you do this, Gelada?
Why, Gelada? Why did you do this?
That's a very good question, Sever. The reason is that I outgrew IPGob.
You already said that.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it again. Because Gentlefire is a proper Linux distribution, whereas IPGob is very cut down. I mean, it fits on a 40 megabyte CD.
For yeah, exactly.
But basically, I can do anything on it. I've got... One of the biggest things for me is that it's got proper full QoS traffic shaping.
Yeah.
Which is quality of service traffic shaping. Go Google it or something. basically, it's amazing for doing BitTorrent uploads. And it means I can be uploading on BitTorrent legal stuff like The Scene and Battlefield
that
2 BF2 updates and stuff.
Update, yep.
I genuinely actually do only use BitTorrent for legal purposes.
I know you do, yeah.
I'm not like someone who uses it for legal purposes.
Yeah.
But it means that even with BitTorrent uploads, I can still have amazingly low ping. And it's all to do with modem buffers. And basically, your modem has the same buffer for downloads and uploads. And so if you're uploading, you fill up the modem buffer with uploads, and it means that nothing can come into your connection.
So downloads are out of the question.
So what you do is you set your connection slightly slower than what it really is.
But barely noticeable.
Yeah, well, it's a couple of K or something like that. So you're not going to notice because the burst speeding gets over that anyway.
Exactly.
And that means that that everything is handled on your Linux box rather than on the modem. And your Linux box can obviously handle it far better than the modem can. And it separates uploads and downloads, and it gives... uploads low priority and downloads high priority, but yet can still allow interactive traffic if you're downloading. So say I was at school and my dad is doing some crazy stuff with his VPN and stuff, using up all the bandwidth, I could still SSH into a server and still be able to use it normally, even though my dad is hogging half the bandwidth.
Exactly.
Because it puts that in priority. So that is absolutely frigging cool.
This is the last tech thing, I guess, really.
This is the last thing overall.
Yeah, it is, we're actually. Finished. Yeah, you're right, it is.
Not that long after all.
We were talking earlier, I don't know how we got into it, we were talking about Dolby headphone, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. We were talking about, how did we get onto the
I think
subject?
We're talking about Dignation again, as usual.
Yeah, we were talking about Dignation. Dignation.com.
Dignation.com, woo! And we were talking about, you know, when they did that episode at Dolby HQ.
Yep.
And they had the Dolby headphone.
Yeah, that stuff. It was cool.
It was very cool. But we found something. Well, you found something, I guess.
It was on Dig.
It was on Dig.
Yeah, sorry. I'd just like to spoil the fact that I did not hunt this out. It really was on Dig.
Thing is, though, everything's on Dig.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's called Holophonic Sound.
It is.
We have no idea how it works.
No.
This kind of technology.
Yeah. I assume it's something to do with using parts of the speakers on the headphone.
Well, yeah, it's definitely that, but God knows how they get it to do it.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
No, we're not even going to go
into that.
And
in normal MP3s. I mean, it's
exactly.
Not like it's anything special.
It's not like new type of file format. It's just standard MP3s now.
I'm going to open it up in Audacity, actually, and have a look at it, see what it's like.
That'd be a good idea, actually. Mm. We'll have a look at that. But basically, what it does is it kind of makes you feel as if the sound is really there.
Yeah.
But it's all different directions. The way the sound comes into your ears makes you look... As if you like, you'll have to look around to see the sound, which is where it's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I did this at school. I listened to it at school, and I was like, "Well, this is amazing." And I handed it to my mate who was sitting next to me. And when I started playing it, basically, it's someone striking a match and then someone shaking a matchbox around. And he was literally like looking around the room and like, "What the hell is going on?" He's like looking down at the floor because like, it really is.
It's really that good. I think it's better. Than Dolby headphones.
I think it is, yeah.
Because Dolby headphone, although it was good, it wasn't nearly as good quality as this
Holophonic sound. They probably used similar technology, but Dolby headphone seemed to have some strange echo on it when they were using it.
I don't know if that was added, though, just for effect.
Yeah, maybe it was just... I think it was to do with the reverb and the microphones that they used, and so it was picking up the reverb of the room.
But this is great. I mean, this is definitely the future of sound.
If they can ever use it. I mean, no one seems to use Dolby headphone or anything.
It's not really released fully yet.
Yeah, I suppose
so. It's not really integrated into anything yet. It'd be great to have this podcast in Dolby headphone or holophonic sound.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why we'd want to do it in holophonic sound. But
we can move about and you can be in different ears all the time. You know, I'm over here, I'm over there.
I'm over here.
But this is going to be like the new thing. So imagine this in kind of like horror FPS games.
Yeah, something like Fear or something
like that. Which is going to make like, you jump out skin when something comes at you.
I think sound is really an integral part of sort of horror FPS and good FPS.
It is, because it's like dead silent and then all of a sudden it's like, wah!
You can don't do that again.
That's good.
Look at that, you well overloaded the
microphone. I know, the mic's going to go bang.
You know, and yeah, it will be awesome. But you can go and check out a preview of that sound.
It's the one that we were talking about, the matches.
Yeah. At tinyurl.com/d8tkt. It's a really good tiny URL.
That's quite an exchange.
Yeah, so
check it out. It's only 1.8 megabytes.
It's something really small. It's 2 minutes long.
Yeah, so it's just like, is it an MP3?
It is an MP3.
Yeah, try it out.
But of course,
but you've got to be wearing headphones.
Yeah,
so
wear headphones. Otherwise, it will just sound normal.
It'll just sound as if it's like stereo gone wrong.
And if you're drunk, don't listen to it.
Yeah, because you'll be kind of like, what's going on?
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, so don't listen to it drunk. It'd be kind of weird you out of it.
Mm.
So wear some headphones and play nice. Anyway, that actually wraps up the show.
It does, at 50 minutes uncut.
At the moment uncut, it's on 51 minutes 14 seconds, which is a bit long.
We've got some plugs.
We have got some plugs. You can go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. First of all, plug to Stankdog, who emailed us earlier. That's... you can go visit his sort of like personal domain-y place.
Kind of his blog, really, isn't it?
It is kind of his blog. He has, as we mentioned in the email, he's sort of stepped back from the community, so he's not active at all. He's unplugged, as you might say. But you can go check out his website anyway at stankdog.com. That's stankdog.com.
Yeah, stank, you know, S-T-A-N-K. And dog is like D-A-W-G.
Yep.
Just make sure you get your spelling right. It'll be on the web.
And also go and check out Binary Revolution, which is the radio and forum and TV and stuff. There's Hack TV on there,
yeah, that's
which is
all,
really cool.
That's all the Bin Rev stuff. That's binrev.com.
Yep.
Bin at rev.com.
Yep.
What was that?
Mm-hmm.
Plugs to GoDaddy, because I mean, what we need is we discussed, and they were really cheap, and they seem to be quite efficient in the way they do it.
So hopefully it'll be
go buy domains from them. They're cheap.
Indeed.
And lastly, it kind of ties in with this. The first plug.
Yep.
Plugs to DDP Hack Radio.
Yep.
Which, of course, is going to be our second place.
Yes.
Where we're going to be.
Well, it's another sort of outlet for our show.
Exactly. So it should get some more popularity.
If you're listening from there, then.
If you're listening from DDP Hack Radio already on what would it be? The 10th?
On Thursday.
That's the 10th, isn't it?
No, that's.
The 12th. 12th. It'll be 12th.
Yeah, it will be. It will be the 12th.
If you're listening on the 12th of January. Like on that day, email us, please.
Yeah,
please
be,
email us.
It would be interesting to hear
us.
That you know people are actually. Well, I'm sure people will be listening, but you know it would be interesting to actually hear you know who's listening.
We'd
to
really
show,
like to know
whether you like it.
And that's about it.
That wraps up the show.
Yeah, that's about everything. Hopefully, we'll get that guest on.
Yeah, hopefully
we
we'll get the guest on. But
next episode
or whenever.
We
won't
possible.
Make a permanent date anymore.
We can't really say anything after this because we don't know when he's going to
be coming. So sometime we will have someone on, and if we can't get him on, maybe we'll get someone else.
We've discussed this like every episode.
We always say we should have Packamack on the show. So Packamack, if you're listening, get on the damn show.
Yeah, just come over. We'll record a show with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it.
That is it. I'm Gelada.
And I'm Sefren.
And have a great 2006.
Yep.
Hopefully with us.
Yeah, we're going to keep on plugging away.
Yep.
We should do. I would support the main.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Cheerio.
See ya.
We need some like incidental music there.
We kind of do.
Hang on. Wait.
That'll do.
That was crap, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just move on with the life.
We're hopping around.
Tokyo City like a big bang ran. Suddenly Batman burst in the shade. Hit Godzilla with a bat grenade. Godzilla got pissed and started to attack. Didn't expect to be brought up by Shaq. When Aaron Carter came out of the blue, and he dot com and the rest.
And he finished the music.
Whatever the music. Anyway. Jalala, be serious.
Okay.
Right. Exactly. So it's, it kind of adds to the challenge. It really does change your way of perspective when you drink.
When you drink. I just pick up my drink. I just pick up my glass of water. And Sarah goes, and it's really good when you drink. Oh, great, crap. What am I talking about?
Got that wrong, didn't I?